wanted to start with just a review of where we've been in the recent Sogya. And I put it on the sheet. But the one that I printed out, I guess I printed it before I put that on the sheet. So if you have the sheet that I brought tonight, you're missing the introduction. Mm-hmm. Or the review, depending on how you look at it. But if you have the one that I emailed out, then you have it.
Which one's from the one you emailed out?
Either way, it'll say 227, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So just a little bit of history. You remember that we started the Masechta with Beis Hillel versus Beis Shammai on the egg that's laid on Yom Tov and what you can do with it. And we went through the four different explanations for why Beis Hillel is strict and prohibits use of the egg. When we hit Gimel Amud Beis, we brought a Braisa. We were trying to figure out who was right and discussing the different views and why Rabbah doesn't follow Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yitzchak doesn't follow Rabbah and so on. And we brought a Braisa that seemed to support Rabbah. Because Rabbah, of the four, is the one who most clearly states that the prohibition against use of the egg is d'oraisa, is biblical. And we brought a Braisa which said that if you have an egg that is a suffix, that is of uncertain status, then this egg is assumed to be usur. Prohibited. Now, the rule is suffek derabbanan lekula. If you have doubt about a derabbanan, then you're mekil, then you're lenient. So the fact that they're telling you that the egg is treated as off-limits when you're not sure tells you that it's a deoraisa. So that seems to support Rabbah. But then we gave two possible explanations. One was that that egg was actually a trefa, or suffek trefa, and that was the issue. It wasn't about Yom Tov at all in that line. Or the other possibility was that it was a davar sheyesh lamatir, and it's going to become permitted the next day. Remember, we had a whole discussion about eshadar kulimonos, kol shadar kulimonos, do we say it's a davar shebabinyan, the whole distraction there. That brought us to Dalet Amud Aleph, on which we brought a braisa that said that an egg laid on Yom Tov is going to be mutter, as is its mother. And then the question was, what did you mean by that? Was it from a chicken that was meant for laying eggs? Was it from a chicken that was meant for food? And we had different ways to understand the language of that braisa. So that's what we said. Guzma, that maybe it only mentioned the mother as a, you know, to show this is mutter, and this is mutter, and this is mutter, kind of an exaggerated language. And that brought us into Dalet Amud Aleph, into Dalet Amud Beis. And a discussion about the status of an egg that's laid on Yom Tov or Shabbos, if the next day is Shabbos or Yom Tov. In other words, the sequence is either Yom Tov is Friday, the egg is laid on Friday, and the question of can I use it on Shabbos, or the other way, the egg is laid on Shabbos and Yom Tov is going to be Sunday. And we discussed, is it one Kedusha or two Kedushos? The possibility that I view it as one Kedusha because Malacha does not become permitted in between the 2 days. And we had a debate between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan regarding the status of the egg on the second day. We ended up saying the discussion is not really about whether it's one Kedusha or two. We agree that it's actually two separate Kedushos. That's not our problem. Our problem is Hachana Diraba. The problem is that the first day ended up preparing for the second day. That was our issue. And that brought us into a discussion, which was the key point last time, about use of wood that falls from a tree on Shabbos preceding Yom Tov. And the question is, are we going to say, well, it's two different Kedushos, and therefore you're allowed to use the wood on Yom Tov, and we won't be concerned about Hachana, we won't be concerned about it being prepared the previous day for this day. That was all the discussion last time, and the concern was that if you tell them you can use it on the second day, that you can use it on Yom Tov, people will think that the only reason you didn't use it yesterday was because it was Shabbos. But in a hypothetical situation in which it fell on Yom Tov, instead, people would think they can use it that day. And that was the concern that we discussed last time. Which led us to a tangent case, which we started on already last time, and that is on Dalet Amud Beis, now that everybody remembers everything about this Masechta. And it was Amar Rav Masna, about a dozen lines down on Dalet Amud Beis. Amar Rav Masna, Eitzim shenashru min hadekel lisoch hatanur biyom tov. If wood falls from a palm tree directly into the oven on Yom Tov, so what am I supposed to do now? You're telling me that this wood is off limits. In that case, my oven is going to be off limits to me for Yom Tov. I can't cook food. So what should I do? Marbe aleim eitzim muchanim umasikan. So what you do is you add prepared wood, and then you can light the whole thing. That was what we discussed last time, and what we said then was that the wood needs to be mixed in so that it's not visible. That was the point that we made from the Ram. The Yamshel Shlomo disagreed. We also discussed why this wood is mukta, and we talked about it in terms of nolad, or whether it is nolad, whether it's not nolad, did it undergo a transformation. And what we said that was key was we distinguished between things that are on a tree that are being nourished by the tree, where when the nourishment stops, now they become food or whatever else they are, and therefore that is nolad, as opposed to items that are physically attached to the tree but are no longer receiving nourishment from the tree, in which case they already are not part of the tree and it's not a problem of nolad. We talked about it in terms of food, that fruit that falls off of a tree. That was last time. But Ramasna says you add your prepared wood, and now you'll be able to use the wood that fell off of the tree. So the Gemara has a couple of questions to ask. The first question the Gemara asks is this: V'hakamahapech bi'isura. Our assumption is that not only are you adding wood, but you're shifting around the wood that's inside, I suppose because you're going to need to cook on it. So you have to shift the wood in order to make it usable. So therefore you are moving a mukta item. The wood is mukta. How is it that you're allowed to move it? So he answers, Kevan deruba dehetera ninhu, ki kamahapech behetera kamahapech. Since most of the wood in there is going to be permitted wood, we view it as that's the wood that you're moving around. Because whatever was usher is buttable rove. It's nullified
in
the mixture.
You put in the wood that was prepared first and then you're mahapech.
Correct. So you're moving mutter wood around in the oven. To which the Gemara says, well, wait a minute, we have a rule, ein mevatlin iser lechatchila. You're not allowed to just go around nullifying isurim. We don't allow that. We don't say that if I have a meat sauce and it would taste really, really good with a little bit of cheese, so that's okay, I can put in a little cheese and it'll be batel. We don't allow that, so how am I allowed to do this to the wood in the oven? V'akamivatel isura lechatchila. You are nullifying the isur lechatchila. You're going in and doing it by adding in the mutter wood. Utnan ein mivatlin isur lechatchila. Mishnah says you're not allowed to do that. It's a Mishnah in Trumos. So the Gemara answers, Hani mili bide oraisa. Avo bide rabbanan mivatlin. That's only if you're dealing with a biblical prohibition. This prohibition is fundamentally a rabbinic prohibition, and therefore you're allowed to be mevata lechatchila. Now this requires that we take some time to understand this. What do you tell me now? So you won't let me do this if it's a meat sauce that I want to add cheese to. But if it's chicken, then I can add in the cheese. And that adds, there's a whole new vista of kosher products. It's as long as it's, we can call it Isur Derabanan. And then I can be Mavatal whatever I want, as long as I'm dealing with Isurim Derabanan. So that's what you're telling me. So take a look at your sheet, please. Source Aleph. Whichever version of the sheet you have, it'll be Source Aleph. This, first we see the Mishnah and Trumos that gives us the source for Ein Mavatlin Isur Lechatchila. Sa'at Truma Shenafla Lepachos Mimeya. This is part of a series of Mishnayos that are talking about mixtures containing truma. So if I have a measure of truma that falls into less than 100 measures of non-truma, and the rule is for truma that you nullify truma in 100, 1 in 101. So if it falls into less than the magic number of 100, the achar kein naflu sham chulin, and then after that, chulin falls in as well. Im shogeg mutter, v'im mezid aser. So if it falls in by accident, that's okay.
Shogeg means it's not an onis.
Right? Well, be onis.
No, it's not my fault that the wind blew it in.
It
also counts as
that would be.
That's also shogeg.
But truma is deraisa.
Truma here that we're talking about is deraisa. That is correct.
Yeah. So why is that answering?
It's not answering anything.
No.
This is just our source for Ein Mevatlin Isur
Lechatchila.
Right. So what it says here is that if the chulin falls in on its own, great. And if it falls in on its own, or you added it b'shogeg, even there, you're going to be fine. the imazid, but if you add on purpose, usr, then the product is prohibited. So why do we have this rule of ein mevatlin isr lechatchila? Technically speaking, it should work. So a couple of different approaches. One approach comes from the Rashba himself. Well, the Rashba is going to mention both positions. One is his own, and one he quotes from Tosfos. If you take a look at source base, uleinyan bitul ha'isurin she'amarta. He's addressing someone who asked him a question. So regarding this issue of bitul that you mentioned, das raboseinu atzarfatim zal lomar did dvar Torah muter levatla ula arvo beheter biyadayim lichatchila. He says, our rabbis of France, by which he means the Balei HaTosfos, that's right. What he's talking about. So the Tosfos say, you're right, Mide Oraisa, you should be able to do Bittul. It's only Mide Rabbanan that we say we don't want you actually actively going out and doing this. That's one view. Aval HaRaivad Zal Kasav, the Asr Levatlo Lechatchila Dvar Torah, the position of the Ravid is that no, it's biblically prohibited. Umachlo Kasam Teluya Behahi Shmaitza Dizroa Beshela Deperagin Hanasha. And he says it's all about how I understand the Gemara in Chulin Daf Tzadiches. The Gemara in Chulin Daf Tzadiches is the classic source on Bittul Beshishim. How do I know that you nullify something normally in 60? Where does that come from? It's that Gemara in Chulin. Gemara Chulin says that if a Nazir brings his karban, one of the karbanos that he brings is a shlamim. And what you're supposed to do with this karban shlamim is that you cook it up in a pot. And then you take the leg, I think it's the right foreleg, from it and give that to the kohen. Hazra b'shelam in ha'il. And the rest of it, everybody gets to eat. It's a shlamim. So even the non-kohenim get to eat it. So the question is, you cooked the part that's supposed to go to the Kohen along with all the other food in the same pot. Why don't we have a problem that now everything has absorbed from this, you know, from this leg that's supposed to go to the Kohen? And the Gemara says, we measured it out and determined that it's the ratio of the whole discussion, is it flesh to flesh? Is there bone counted, not counted? But the ratio there is 60 to 1. Well, it's not just that. If it's for Kohanim only, it's off limits to everybody else. It's also, it's kachim. So so they determine there the ratio is 60 to 1, and what's going on is bittul. In other words, the reason why everybody else can eat the other parts of the ram and not worry about any absorption from this leg is because the leg was bittul there. And the ratio was 1 in 60. Tosfos there says, don't get too literal about the ram. He says, that's not really our source. It's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, that it's 1 in 60, and that happens to be where we apply it to the case of the ram. But either way, the question here is, that's bittul isur l'chatchila. Right? You're sticking this in the pot. You're actively doing it. So how do I understand that Gemara? So the way that Tosfos will take it is that there, just like everywhere else, you really are allowed to be mevatel isur lechatchila. The only thing that's novel there is that the Torah tells you to do it. The Torah says, cook it all up in the pot. So that's what makes that unique. But the truth is the Torah always permits bittul. It's not, you know, it's not unique to the case of the ram. The Torah always allows bittul. And so the Rabbanan who came along and said that you're not allowed to do it. That's one approach. Why would the Rabbanan say you're not allowed to do it? Because it's going to create havoc in the halachic world. The moment you tell people that they're allowed to be mevatel iser, you know what's going to happen. People are going to start doing this lechatchila. They're going to go set that up as their ideal. And when they get ratios wrong, they will have violated an iser deoraisa, which we want to avoid at all costs. So that's that's where this comes from. That's the view of Tosfos. Whereas the Ravid's view will be that the Gemara about the ram is a chiddush. That's a novelty. That Hashem said, there you cook the whole thing together. That's a novelty. Don't extrapolate from there to anything else. The rule that you can't be mevatel lechatchila is actually a de'oraisa rule. So one view says, ein mevatel isur lechatchila is a de'oraisa, with the sole exception being the ram of the Nazir. The other view says, no, it's a de'rabanan. And the ram of the Nazir, like everything else, is something you are allowed to be mevatel. Clear? Okay. Now we get to our Gemara. And our Gemara says, this rule of Ein Mevatlin Isser Lechatchila is regarding specifically being Mevatel A Derabanan. Okay? This rule that I am allowed to be Mevatel, right, is only where it's a Derabanan.
Right. Which makes hard to understand from a Tosfos perspective.
Because?
Because the Rabbanan could have made a Gzeira on the Raisa,
not the Rabbanan.
Yeah.
But the logic is that...
You always want to protect you from doing the Rabbanan.
But if you don't want to do people to do things like Achila because it'll create chaos, is it will not create chaos for Rabbanan as well?
It will, but you'll be on, the worst thing you'll be over is a Rabbanan if you make a mistake, or in the other case you're over the Raisa.
I don't think they're worried about the individual, they're worried about the herd mentality that everybody all of a sudden is starting to do a Neho and all the kinds of things, and you know.
You could argue both sides of it.
Starting to eat cheeseburgers.
But there are a couple of points that have to be made here. One of them is in Source Gimel. Source Gimel comes from Shulchan Aruch here, Redeya Simen Tzaditas, it's if Vav. And this goes back to, Howie, the question that you asked me in the email. Isser shel divrehem, when you're dealing with a derabanan, it's a shel divrehem, that means it's a derabanan. Isser shel divrehem, ein ma'arven oso biyadayim kidei levatlo. You are not allowed to actively mix it in order to nullify it, even though you're dealing with a derabanan. V'imasa came to maze it, and if you did it on purpose, aser, the result is aser. But if it fell on its own, like our case in the Gemara, where the wood fell into the oven, but the mix it fell into doesn't have sufficient mutter substance to be mevatalit, then you add to it and you're mevatalit. So the line in the Shulchan Aruch is that it isn't as simple as saying if it's a derabanan, I'm allowed to be mevatalit. That's not true. If it's a derabanan, and it's already in a mixture.
It's an onus, in other words.
I'm stuck. Right. Then I will be allowed to do the bittul, presumably because of hesed. Because there's a loss involved if I don't.
So
it's already in the mix.
So if I have milk and meat, right, and it's less than 60th, right, I'm allowed to put more meat in it? Can I about to
No, because it's a rice.
Because that's a rice.
Right. Yeah, milk and chicken.
Milk and chicken.
Correct. If I had chicken soup,
right,
and a drop of milk fell in, and it's not, then I could add to the mevatel the milk.
Right.
No, but you just said the Shulchan Aruch seems to have seems to tell you the Divrei that even in a Rabbanan din, or was it or the Divrei when you said the Divreihem means the Gzera, are you talking about the Gzera or are you talking about the Isra itself is a Rabbanan Isra.
No, it means the item that fell in. The item that fell in was an Isser Shel Divrehem, was prohibited.
And even then, Shulchan Aruch says that you cannot go mevatel, is what you're saying. Right.
If it fell in, you can.
But
right,
only if
the
main thing is. Piyasma is not who did it, but you got it.
No. Nafal me'atzmo, and there wasn't a shear. Read the line. If nafal me'atzmo, the ein beheter. That's okay. That's all right, because the Ramah is about to answer everything. Well, if you don't have it in front of you, that we can solve easily. But the Ramah is going to say, forget it. Hagah, still in Source Gimel. V'yesh omrim, some say, de'ein levatel isur derabanan ola hosif olav. You don't nullify the Rabbanans, you don't add to the Rabbanans, our Gemara notwithstanding, Kimobi Isser Doraisa. V'chein noagin v'ein lashanos. He says, that's our practice, and don't do any differently. He doesn't want to see you being mevatel anything, probably because of what Alan said, which is that if we're really concerned, then we're really concerned across the board. We're not going to now create loopholes for...
Then you have the problem. It seems like the Rama is not like the Tosis, because...
Right. I would encourage out of the riff with the whole...
No, he's not following the Tosos. That's true. He's not following the Tosos.
No.
So effectively, he's holding that you cannot, even in the case where it's...
Even a bomb.
Even where it's falling from the tree, you can't...
So it appears.
You can't.
Correct. So it appears. We have more to see, though. I also would note something that's important to understand in general. The Ramah has in his introduction to the Taras Hatas... he makes a comment there in which he says, you will find from time to time in my writings that I permit something because of hesed, because of great loss. He says, you should understand that I only do that in a case where the law is X, but everybody is stricter than they really need to be. In other words, Rama says, we know there are cases where the law is something is mutter, but we don't do it. There, he says, in the event that there will be a loss involved, then I'll permit it. So I think that's what he would do in this case. Because everybody knows what we've already seen, that the Iker law is, you're allowed to be mevatel derabbanan if it already fell in. I'm telling you, don't do it. Ve'in l'shanos, we shouldn't do differently. But I believe he would be willing to apply hefset standards in this in such a case and say, well, okay, there's a loss, so therefore you'll be allowed to do it.
Would it matter that the wood would have been gone anyways because it would have been burned?
Right, so that's an added reason to be lenient, as we saw last week, yeah. Yes, that's correct. The fact that it's going to be burned makes the wood case uniquely lenient. Now, there are a few points, though, that we have to see about this in order to get a better understanding. First of all, Tosfos here comments that we saw not long ago a whole discussion about the eagle shell devela, right? The cakes of pressed figs that were in the barrels and so on, and they were already in a mixture, right? So he says it's in the Tosfos here, but you have to go down to the seventh thin line, the im tomar, in the middle of the line. If you're using the Steinsaltz, you're out of luck. The im tomar le'el gabi igul da'avi truma derabanan yosef ala v'yavatel. He says, I don't understand. When we dealt with the pressed figs, we said it's truma of figs, which is itself a derabanan, and it's already in the mix, because the barrels are all mixed together, so why am I not allowed to simply add and be mevatel, nullify it? V'yesh lomar, he says, you could answer with a very important point about how I define derabanans. Not all derabanans are equal. Dahada amar b'derabanan mevatlin. When we say that you are mevatel a derabanan, hainu b'davar she'ikaro midrabanan. That's something which is fundamentally rabbinic. Kagon muktzah, like muktzah. D'ikaro eino ala midrabanan. The root of it is all derabanan. Aval, however, b'davar she'ikaro midoraisa, where at its root it's actually biblical. Kagon truma. If you're dealing with something that is fundamentally de'oraisa, like you're talking about truma, where there's a truma thing that is de'oraisa, and this happens to be a type of truma that's de'rabanan. But dagan, tirosh, v'yitzhar, grain, wine, oil, those are biblical. Even in a subset which is a rabbinic one, kagon b'shar peros, like the truma of the figs, ein mevatel, and you would not be allowed to be mevatel. So this rule that we're suggesting, that you're allowed to be mevatel like derabanan lechatchila, number one, we've said it's only if the mixture already exists and you just have to add to it, and number two, it's only if this thing is a derabanan through and through.
I'm confused.
No, the Echinu is about Hachana Derava, that you can't have prepared it on Shabbos for the weekday.
Nothing to do with Muktzah.
That is correct. Except that if I fail to do Hachana, then I will apply Muktzah to it. But Muktzah is fundamentally a Derabanan.
It's agreed upon everybody.
Yeah. I don't think you were there the first couple of weeks. We spent some time on Muktzah as a Derabanan. But yeah, we view Muktzah as a Derabanan. The earliest possible pedigree for it is Nehemia. So that's one point. Then there's another point. Yeah.
What's the logic of this position of saying that if it's a derabanan which could is not derived from a deraisa, that ein mevatlin?
This is something that we've seen elsewhere also. The trick is that that you have to make sure when you say ein mevatlin,
yeah,
right, means you're not allowed to nullify.
Right.
Okay, so we're being strict.
Yeah.
That is going to apply. We're going to say ein mevatlin if we're talking about a derabanan which has its root in de'oraisa. Uh-huh. There are de'oraisa cases, and then we have a layer that's derabanan. That's more strict than something that the rabbis just made up entirely, like muktzah, where it has no attachment to anything else. That's the idea. Mm-hmm. But the Kilas Yaakov points out another limitation on this. We've seen two limitations. It has to have already fallen in, was one limitation. And then the second limitation is that it has to be, so to speak, pure Darabanan. Next, we're going to add in that this rule is only going to apply for Isurei Achila.
Aren't you taking different sheets from different sources?
No, because they're accepted. Yeah.
Okay.
The third one is may not be. We'll have to see.
Okay.
But the third limitation is it'll only apply to things that are Asur Ba'achila, as opposed to things that are Asur Ba'hana'ah, that you're not allowed to benefit from.
Mm-hmm.
Where does he get this from? A question that the Shach asks in Source Dalet. The Shach is commenting on that line in Shulchan Aruch that we saw in Source Gimel, about how you can add to the mixture, if it's a Derabana, then you'll be fine, right? And he says, wait a minute, Marba Olav Mivalo, you say you could just add to the mixture and nullify. Kasha, this is difficult. The Ba'orachayim Simitaf Reish Ayin Zayin, Sasam HaMachaber. He says, in Orachayim Taf Reish Ayin Zayin, that's the laws of Hanukkah, the Machaber, author of the Shulchan Aruch, did not distinguish. He wrote flat the following, V'kasav, Demosar Hashemen Shebener Hanukkah, Shinisarev B'Shemen Acher. He says, leftover oil from your menorah that gets mixed in with other oil. Remember that oil, right, the oil from your menorah is Aser B'Hanah. You're not allowed to benefit from it because it is Hukza L'Mitzvaso. It's been set aside for this mitzvah. There's a lot to discuss within that. If this were Hanukkah, we would talk about this in greater depth because we add more oil than we need in our menorah. Since the minimum is that it should burn for half an hour after the Zman, you know, we have these oil things that will hold for 2 hours, 2.5 hours, 3 hours, or whatever it is. We have more oil than we need. Are you really matzeh everything if you know that it's going to burn longer? That's a sudden discussion. But the point here is, hypothetically, the oil that's in your menorah that doesn't burn down is actually usher. You're not allowed to benefit from it. What happens if it gets mixed in with other oil? Ve'ein bo shishim levatlo, and you don't have a shear to nullify it. So yesh misha omer she'ein lahosif alav levatlo. In the Shulchan Aruch, he's going to say there is a view that you're not allowed to add and nullify it. So the Shach says, I don't understand. Vare Chanukah einu ela midrabanan. Right? Chanukah is a derabanan. The mixture is there. You didn't do it actively. So why shouldn't I be able to add to the mix? Gamba Beis Yosef Sham lo hevi shum posei shecholei galze. In the Beis Yosef, he didn't bring any other view. Even though in the Shulchan Aruch he writes, yesh mi she'omer, there is a view that says you can't. He didn't say, and there's a view that says you can.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's going on? Why is it that I am not able to do...
It's a rabbanan that has no basis, the rice as well, right? It came along the
yeah,
opinion.
Exactly. So,
unless you say mitzvah is different.
So, Hotzala Mitzvaso, right, so there is a view that suggests that Hotzala Mitzvaso is somehow harsher or stricter than other things. But Vekilas Yaakov, the Stifler, offers a distinction between Isser Achila and Isser Hana. He says Isser Achila is different from Isser Hana for a logical reason, not just because one is worse than another. Take a look at Source Hay. I have to admit some difficulty in understanding his approach. And I brought a couple of other approaches as well to explain why Isser Hana is different from Isser Achila. But you can't do it without reading the Stipler too. So the Kilas Yaakov writes, V'tayma Rabba Ika. He says there's a great reason why we would be stricter here for the Isser Hana and say you can't add and be mevatel. Dahamistaber. Dehamavatel Isser Hana Nechshav Shenehene Mimena Bazesh Shemahapcho Me Isser Leheter. He says it's logical to say that when you nullify your Isser Hana in the mix, you benefit because you converted from Asur to Mutter. You are benefiting from it when you make it permitted. Vahavi kinishtamesh bo v'nehene mimenu. It is as though you used it and benefited from it. Bish'as esek habitul. During the bitul, during the nullification. U'bishar shakati lo nisbatel. When it is not yet batel. Mishtamesh bo tzarcho laso so heter. You are using it to make it permitted. You are using its presence in the mixture to make it mutter.
Which is the case of Hanara?
Okay.
What's
what we're saying is that in a case where, well, take the Hanukkah oil. That would be an example. Okay, my oil from my menorah is Asur B'Hanah. It gets mixed in with other oil on its own. I didn't do it on purpose. There isn't enough of a shear to nullify it. When I add oil to the mix, I am benefiting from the forbidden oil because its presence in the mixture is going to cause it to become permitted.
And wouldn't the oven in our case? Because it's present.
Well, and he's going to apply it to any Asur B'Hanah. Because ours is not Asur B'Hanah. Ours is Asur B'Hanah.
Why is it present?
Oh, but the wood.
The wood.
Yeah, but the heat is what's making your derivation of the wood is you having the wood in order to
right. So one of the key points that
and
you have to
by your Hanukkah is the light you need.
Hang
the
on.
Oil is the
let me answer. Let me answer the first question first. Okay. There's an overarching principle that you have to know, which is that muktzah in general, and the Stipler notes this, and he's quoting a Tosis in Psachim Daf Chavav, that muktzah in general is viewed as an isur achila slash tilta, as opposed to huktzah l'mitzvasa, which is really a category unto itself. But general muktzah is viewed as being like an isur achila, not an isur hana. In other words, if I have something that is muktzah, but I am able to benefit from it without moving it on Shabbos, I'm allowed to do so. Classic example. This is going to get me into trouble. But let's pretend for the moment that your newspaper is muktzah. But you can read it without moving any pages. Right? You're a sports fan, and they dropped it in such a way that you can see the back page and you can see the scores. So leave aside the newspaper question. Yeah. But they...
sounds like a contrarian logic.
The paper on the tree before they made the newsprint, or the paper's on?
How does a noah become more chumr than a chila? I mean, it just seems
contrary. It's not that it's more chumr. It's not that it's more chumr. It's that I am using it. The issur is don't use it, and you are using it by being mevatel it. That's Achilles Yaakov's explanation.
Now, I think a noah is more chumr. It's not like
you're not using it more till it is
mevatel.
But you're not using it till it is mevatel.
Right, so the Kilas Yaakov, if you look at his wording, was very careful to deal with what Alan points out. Alan says, well, you're not using it until it's mutter. So he says, no. He says, mnene mimenu b'sh'as eze habitul, u'b'sh'as she'akati lo nisbata, when it hasn't yet been batal.
So,
right. So this is why, when I introduced...
If it wasn't in the first place, you wouldn't have a problem.
When I introduced the Kilas Yaakov, I said that I have difficulty understanding his logic. And I got stuck at the same point that you're getting stuck.
He's lighting the light, and while adding the new oil, he's using the one that is already there.
No, but he's not saying that.
That's the case. It's pretty simple. No?
Say this again.
He's using the light currently before the mixture is done. And he adds the oil while...
No. This is oil is not burning. Nothing's burning right now.
Doesn't say it doesn't burn.
No, this is leftover stuff. It's not. The menorah is not burning. No, because now it becomes mutter such that if I want to, I'll be able to use it.
Yeah, but
this isn't a Shabbos discussion. This is a Hanukkah discussion.
It could be a Hanukkah discussion. You can use it for anything. Yeah. Just start using it before it's completely diluted, that's all.
So if I were to use it that way, the Kilas Yaakov is talking about that? I don't think so. That's not his wording. It's Kinnish Tamish, but I don't think so. But, fortunately, the Kilas Yaakov notes, he says, I think I've seen this in other places too, but he doesn't tell you where. Fortunately, with the growth of the internet, it's now possible to search a whole bunch of svarim very easily. That's not a way to do psak, but it is a way to do learning. And so I found it in the Darchei Tshuva. I found the same idea in the Darchei Tshuva before the Kilas Yaakov put it on paper in Source Vav. And what he says is this is why it's called violating the Isser Hanah. Afilu lehamanda omar, desvirale de'ein mevalin Isser lechatchila hurak midirabanan. Even according to the view that this whole prohibition against bitul is a derabanan, mikomakam, bedavar ha'asr behanah, gam hu mode dahavi midirabanan. By the way, it's not the Darchei Tshuva's own idea. He was actually quoting the Tshuvos Haremetz, and I don't know who the Tshuvos Haremetz is. But that's what he was quoting when he said this. But what he says is, B'davar ha'aser b'hana'a, if it's aser b'hana'a, gam hu modeh d'havim v'd'oraisa iser levata l'chadchila. He will agree that it is biblically prohibited. You can't do the bittul. D'hanehne mimenu al yedei bitulo, because you benefit by nullifying it. V'ochel ha'iser atzma al yedei tavrobos sha'asa. And you are going to then eat whatever is aser because of the mixture that you created.
So
the fact that I'm going to be able to eat it because I did this bittul is hana'a. Yes.
So make... My being happy is hana, biblical hana.
Well, I think it's more than that. It's the fact that I'm going to be able to use it.
Yeah, but I mean that's in essence it's a machshava we're talking about here.
So I'll offer you a hana. Third.
Hana can go as far as being able to sell it and supposed to eat.
I biblical hana on a derabanan.
I understand.
It's we're talking about Hanukkah.
Yeah.
The whole thing is
a derabanan.
Right. So how's this a biblical Easter of hana?
Who said that it was?
He's saying that
he's not dealing with the question of whether the item is Asur Darabon or Daraisa. He's dealing with the question of whether the rule of Imbabatlin is Sir Lachatchila is a Darabon or a Daraisa. And what he's saying is that even if Imbabatlin is Sir Lachatchila is a Darabon, using an Isser Hana is a Daraisa. And you are using an Isser Daraisa, you're using an Isser Hana. By converting it into something you're going to be allowed to eat.
But how is asking Hanukkah has nothing to do with rice?
That's true, but the concept of Isser Hana, that's what I just said to you. He's not dealing with the question of is the item Darabon or Daraisa. That's not his point.
Okay. Isn't there actually a story that Hanukkah is tantamount to a Daraisa as well? Yeah.
Not in terms of the oil and the menorah. My few of Hakara Sato for a nace or whatever maybe, but this specific institution of lighting a Chanukiah is a Darabanan no matter how you slice it. Unless you're going to tell me Lo Sasser. I mean, tell me Lo Sasser, fine.
It tantamount to a derisive.
Yeah. It's not the mitzvah of Hanukkah that's a derisive. It's if you don't do the mitzvah.
I'm going to take one other stab at trying to explain why this is called using the Isser Hana. The Chavos Das, is who you can find in the back of a standard Shulchan Aruch. So he suggests in Sor Zayin, "Did the Isser Achila She'eno Asur Rak Mitiimas Taima Di Isura?" He says, if you're dealing with something you're not allowed to eat, where the only prohibition is don't taste the prohibited food. Once you do the bittul, you can't taste it anymore. Therefore, it's mutter. As opposed to an isser hana, when you take it and you nullify it, you benefit by doing so. Why? Because ein lecha hana gedola mizeh shemarbe umashbiach haheter b'meshazorek ha'iser l'socho. He says, of course you're benefiting from it. You created more heter stuff. That's the only one I can understand out of the bunch. The Darach Yitzhuv I thought I understood at one point, but the Chavos Das says you are creating more stuff.
Except that there are other forms of hana other than the te'ima. He's prefacing by saying, yeah, that's true, it's te'ima, but if I need to go on a long trip and I need fuel for my body, I don't even care if there's te'ima, I just need to be full. And that's a greater hana'a than maybe the other hana'a. In other words, he's prefacing that the tam is the iser.
But if I iser achila.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? That's the only iser. And therefore, if I mix it, because hana'a, right. I have the whole benefit. But if I need to fill my belly so I can run for 50 meters, I don't care about the time. It could taste bland.
However, that wouldn't be called achila. We talk about, for example, the person who wraps up food.
It wouldn't be called achila, but it would be worse because it would call it hana. It would be hana, and it puts you in a worse category.
Potentially. But if there are cases where hana is mutter and achila is
he's getting out of a case of something that's tima that has no nutritional value.
Because you'll have a case of something that's aser ba'achila, but mutter ba'hana.
No, but he's talking about a food item.
If you have, look,
he's trying to prove why.
If you have chazer,
he's trying to prove why hana is more strict than achila.
No. I think calling it more strict and less strict is a little bit of a red herring. There are two different classes of iser. The iser achila.
I mean, I don't mean more strict or less. I mean in the context of being mevatel it.
Yeah.
The Hanah, that's what we're trying to prove here. We have difficulty with Achilles Yaakov, but we're trying to prove, and Chavos Das has a different way of proving it, that when it comes to being Mavar,
he precedes Achilles Yaakov. He precedes Achilles Yaakov with this idea.
Yeah, but he doesn't, he has a reason that seems on the surface nice.
Yeah.
But because he's saying that because the benefit, because you're Mavatel something, well, that's Israel, and you're having the full benefit of that Anoah. Whereas here, when you're Mavatel it, you're Mavatel the item itself that caused the Israel. In other words, if it was Mavatel itself, it wouldn't have the Tam, and therefore there would be no Israel Chila. And therefore, if you go ahead and do it on your own, it can't be, it has to be more lenient than Anoah, because the Achila component is gone. But what I'm trying to say is Achila has two components. There's a component that makes it usher because you're tasting it. There's a component that makes it usher because you have a Noah.
And
the fact that it's giving you nutritional value.
But that's not true. That's what I'm saying. That's not called Achila. If somebody,
I know, but it's called a Noah.
And that's okay. If it's only usher b'Achila, it's not usher b'Hanah. That which is usher b'Achila is mutter b'Hanah.
That when it's also Achila,
I am allowed to benefit from
right,
Hanah.
Of course, you could find that in
Zashmachila. Right. So that's
I'm sorry, right.
If you apply Dizmal logic, then in our case, in the wood should be Esther.
Yeah, not in Esther, Samyena.
So if you apply Dizmal logic to our case,
yes.
It should be Esther.
Because?
Okay, because basically you're getting benefit when you're mixing it together.
And he's fine with it because he says, that was my point from the Tosus and Psachim, that Muktzah is viewed as an Isser Achila, even where it's not something you eat, even where it's wood. It's viewed as an Isser Achila, not as an Isser Hanah. He has a whole other discussion about this Tosus in the very next Siman in the Kilas Yaakov. But he's adamant that Muktzah is not called an Isser Hanah. Only where it's Huktzah L'mitzvasa is he going to call it an Isser Hanah. That's, you're right. If I don't have that, the whole thing falls apart. That is true. So the upshot for us is this. After all is said and done, we said... Sorry?
Yamshel Shlomo?
I'm hoping to get to the Yamshel Shlomo.
Okay.
I'm not going to get to Constantine. He's going to have to wait. But they... but he's been waiting 1,700 years. I'll wait a little longer. But the upshot of this is that we ask the question of how am I allowed to add to the wood that's in the oven. Remember, this whole case of the wood in the oven is just a tangent. It only came in here because we talked about the previous case of wood in the oven. But how is it I'm allowed to use the wood in the oven? How is it I'm allowed to be mevatelet? Well, it's okay because it's a derabanan. And you can be mevatelet derabanan lechatchila. But we've added three criteria. Number one, it has to be that it fell in on its own. The mixture is there only because it fell in. That's number one. Number two, it has to be pure derabanan. And now number three, an Isser Achila, not an Isser Hanah. But the Gemara has one more line that we have to see. The Gemara says on this business, Ulrav Ashi, right? If you see where the lines get wide and you go up six lines, Ulrav Ashi da Amar called Davar Sheyesh Lamatir and Afilu B'Drabbanan Lo Batil. According to Rav Ashi, he says that if it's a Davar Sheyesh Lamatirin, even if it's only a Drabbanan, you can't nullify it. The wood is a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Tomorrow it's going to be mutter. So he says, what are you doing here? Ma'ika l'mera. Then what do you say? So he says, hani mili hecha de'iseli isur be'ene. This is what Charlie was remembering. That's only where the item is actually going to be, is going to remain. This asur item will remain. Hacha mikla kali isure. Here it's going to be incinerated, and therefore we're going to be lenient. So here I brought you the Yamshel Shlomo on the sheet. I'll say it outside because it's late. But but what happens is the Rosh, the Ran, and the Mordechai contend that incinerating the item is what allows us to permit lechatchila nullifying the any derabanan. When we said that you're allowed to nullify a derabanan in a mixture, that's only because it's going to be incinerated. I mean, the Gemara's conclusion here, that we're okay with the idea of nullifying a davar sheyesh lo matirin because it's going to be incinerated, actually goes back to the beginning of the Gemara also, the beginning of this discussion where we said that you can be mevatel derabanan. So they'll say, in addition to the rules we gave, you can only mevatel derabanan if it's already in the mix. You can only mevatel it if it's entirely a derabanan. With all that, we have another rule. You can only mevatel derabanan if you're going to destroy it. That's the Rosh Taman of the Mordechai. The Yamshel Shlomo disagrees and says, no, this point about it being incinerated is only on that last line in the Gemara, the fact that it's a Dabar Sheyesh L'Matirin, it's a cure for the Dabar Sheyesh L'Matirin problem. It's not meant to refer to the entire...
So because I'm going to destroy it, so it won't be available to me to use tomorrow when I could otherwise use it?
Well, I used it now. Oh, you mean because therefore now it won't be the Dabar Sheyesh L'Matirin. It doesn't have any Matirin. Maybe. I didn't look at it quite that way, but I definitely hear you. Yeah. All right. So next time we return to Beitza, actually, and they talk about, they shift gears from talking about the Shabbos and Yom Tov in sequence to talk about the first day of a two-day Yom Tov outside of Eretz Yisrael, which will bring us into a discussion about why we have two-day Yom Tov outside of Eretz Yisrael. And...